This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. This is Case Closed. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday. We'll hear first this week from yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and the Wayward Gun Matter, his story from June 3rd, 1962. After that, it's the new adventures of Nero Wolfe and Calculated Risk, his story from January 19th, 1951.
Johnny Dollar.
Dollar, this is Adolf Dorfman at Amalgamated Life Association.
Oh, yes, Mr. Dorfman.
Where the devil have you been? I've been trying to get you for days.
Well, I've been out of town, sir, in Las Vegas on a special
assignment. Oh, never mind. Just get yourself over to this office, Dollar, and right away.
Well, now, Mr.
Dorfman... Just what do you think you're up to, anyway? This is absurd. This is ridiculous.
If you say it is, I'm sure it must be.
Of course it is.
Do you mind telling me what you mean by it?
The Cleet Martin case. What did you think I was talking about?
I wasn't quite sure.
But don't tell me you have solved it and just haven't bothered reporting to me.
No, Mr. Dorfman, I have not solved it as yet, but I think I'm on the right track.
You think? You think, don't you know?
No, because there is one possible clue to be checked out before I can be certain.
Yes? Certain of what?
That it actually is a clue to that murder.
What? Do you mean to say you've been wasting valuable time and a lot of company money on just theories about that killing? That you haven't really accomplished a thing?
Mr. Dorfman...
Oh, that's ridiculous. And what about this expense account you sent in and the fact it's marked incomplete, no total given? Does that mean I'm to expect another one?
Yes, it does, Mr. Dorfman. Maybe more than one by the time I'm through.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Whatever gave you the idea we'd pay you before the case is closed? Why do you expect us to pay you now?
I don't.
Then why send in these itemized expenses?
Because you yourself demanded I send in my expense account on Friday of each week, whether complete or not.
Now look here. Some of these items you've listed, these charges you've run up...
When it's all over, all wrapped up, I'll be glad to explain every one of them to you.
Not a bit of it, Dollar. You get yourself on over here and start explaining them now. Why, I've been trying to reach you for days.
As I tried to tell you, Mr. Dorfman,
If you have anything to tell me, you can say it to my face, not waste my time on this telephone. Well, you're coming over here?
I certainly am.
The CBS Radio Network brings you Mandel Kramer and the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator,
yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Amalgamated Life Associates Home Office, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Wayward Gun Matter. Adolf Dorfman always had been, always would be, a short-tempered, crotchety old maid. Nothing but trouble on a case. But Amalgamated Life, mostly through Al Spangler, a VP and a very nice guy, has done mighty well for me over the years. So when Dorfman called me in on the Martin case, I couldn't very well turn him down, in spite of resenting his high-handed manner. Expense account item one, $1.10 for a cab to his office.
Oh, all right, I'll accept that one. But look at this item right here. $4.80 for a tank full of gasoline.
Because I used my own car to go over there to Lakewood.
Yeah, but $4.80. When you could have made the trip on a bus for less than $2?
Sure I could.
Then why didn't you?
Then we'd have had to spend $8 or $10 in taxi fares between the Martin home and police headquarters. Is that what you would have preferred?
Yeah, well, no, of course not. But just the same,
Look,
Dolly,
we're
you
just
can't...
wasting time here, if you'll excuse me.
Well, wasting time,
In the beginning, you'd question every single item on this expense account. You always do.
And why not?
And that's why, instead of handing one in that would give you some real cause for worry, I decided for once to keep expenses down to the barest minimum, but it hasn't done the least bit of good, so if you don't mind.
Minimum, eh? What about this? $1.75 for lunch.
What about it?
Do you deny that it included an overgenerous tip to some pretty waitress?
The tip was exactly 25 cents and it came out of my...
There, you see? A 25 cent tip on a dollar and a half meal, that's ridiculous.
I started to say the tip came out of my own pocket, Mr. Dorfman. If you don't believe me, take a look at the cash register slip. It's right there. Go ahead, look at it.
All right. I'll take your word for it. The fact remains that you still haven't solved the case.
I think I have.
You think you have?
But I'd rather not talk about it just yet.
Well, I don't know why not. You either know who killed Mr. Cletus Martin or you don't.
Now, which is it?
I'll be able to give you the whole story, I hope, after I get a phone call from New York and not before.
New York?
Yes, from a friend of mine at 18th Precinct Police Headquarters.
Oh, so that explains this item here. Return ticket to New York and several cab fares.
That's right.
But why? What possible connection can they have with the Martin matter?
They just happen to have a top ballistics technician.
Ballistics? What's the matter with the police in Lakewood?
Not a thing.
Or with their county police over there?
Not a thing.
Then why go all the way to New York?
Because once I got hold of the picture of the bullet that killed Mr. Martin, I didn't want Lakewood or Lakewood County to know what I intended doing with it.
Why?
I'd rather not say. Now, you've had these items explained, so if you'll excuse me...
Now, wait, Dollar, sit down.
There is nothing further I can do until I get my call from New York.
Oh, but there is. Something else I want to talk to you about. The really important reason I sent for you.
Well, I hope it's a lot more important than quibbling about this expense account.
Oh, it is.
Then why the big stall? Why all the waste of time?
Stall?
Yes. I don't know why, Mr. Dorfman, but that's all you've been doing for the last 10 minutes, is stalling me.
Oh, no. Not a bit of it, not a bit. Now sit down, please. Sit down.
All right. Well, what is it?
You say you were out of town?
I was in Las Vegas, but it had nothing whatsoever to do with...
Yes. So that's it. That's the reason we couldn't find you anyway.
We?
I mean, I couldn't find you. Yes, that's very pleasant out there at this time of year, isn't it?
Look, will you please quit stalling again and tell me what this other important matter is?
All right. Have you seen the papers? Did you know another client of ours just met a violent end?
Mr. Barryman, here in Hartford?
Yes. Alfred W. Barryman. You didn't know him?
No. Nor that he was a client of yours.
Nor that he was a big contractor like Mr. Martin?
No. Nope. Now, do you plan to assign me to that case, too?
Do we have to?
Of course you don't. And if you want the truth, Mr. Dorfman, if you're the company contact on it, so why wait until now to tell me? Why waste all that time picking away at the expense account?
Don't you know?
I certainly don't. Now, what goes, I would give...
Now you may know. Come in, Sergeant.
All right, Mr. Dorfman. How about this? Johnny Dollar, huh?
That's right. Sergeant
Bill Ansett.
I told you I'd find him for you, Sergeant.
I don't know how you did it.
What is this?
All we know was he'd left town, Mr. Dollar.
Wait a minute. Why the gun, Sergeant?
You ought to know. Up on your feet, Dollar.
You mind telling me what this is all about?
Just hand me your gun, Dollar. That nice big .38 you carry. Well, what's the matter?
I'm sure I don't know. It's for my .38. I don't happen to have it on me at the moment.
I know.
What?
Because we got it. Dollar, serial number and all down at headquarters. And maybe that's the reason I'm holding you on suspicion of murder.
Do you have a match?
The old gag. Sure, I said. Do you have a cigarette? She had one. Newport. Newport filters cigarettes. We lit up. Some smoke. Finest rich tobacco flavor I'd ever tasted. Real tobacco. The way I like them. The right touch of menthol and just a hint of mint.
A great combination.
She suggested.
Makes Newport more refreshing to begin with. More refreshing all the way.
She wasn't kidding. Been smoking them ever since. Newports. Newport filters cigarettes.
Sergeant's bombshell wasn't repeatable.
Me, Johnny Dollar, arrested on suspicion of murder by a cop with a grudge, fingered by a tight-fisted people hater named Amalgamated Life Dorfman.
Thanks, Mr. Dorfman, for latching on for us.
Yeah, pleasure, Sergeant.
Now, wait a minute, Sergeant. If you're talking about the Martin matter...
Now, don't try and kid me, Dollar. We got you nailed down for the murder of that other contractor, Barryman.
What?
And he pretended not to know much about it. It was almost evasive when I brought it up.
That explains all your stalling. Waiting for this man to get here.
I did very well.
Oh, you were great. Next week, East Lynn. Now, look, son.
No time for talk, Dollar. On to headquarters now, on account of you happen to be under arrest.
I am.
Quite so.
In which case, I'm entitled to one phone call, am I not?
Sure, if you want to call a mouthpiece, you're entitled.
You mind if I use your phone, Mr. Dorfman?
No, not at all, not at all.
Thank you so much.
Provided, of course, you pay for the call.
Don't bank on it.
I beg your pardon?
Don't be surprised if you end up paying for it. Through the nose. My call was to Lieutenant Randy Singer, 18th Precinct, New York Police Department. Now, he still had no word for me, but he promised to call the minute he did, so I told him where to try if I wasn't at my apartment.
Okay, now, Johnny, you ready?
Look, are you sure this isn't some kind of a gag?
Are you kidding?
Because if it is, it's a pretty bad one. Sergeant, don't you know who I am? I mean, what my job
yeah,
is?
Yeah, Donald. I know all about you. What a great guy you are.
Thanks.
And nobody wasn't any more surprised than me. But Lieutenant Bartley don't go off half-cocked, and you know it.
Bartley?
So when he says to bring you in, well, baby, in you go.
He sent you after me, Harry Bartley?
Lieutenant Bartley. Now, come on. Okay, now, Lieutenant, you want me to book him now, lock him up?
In a couple of minutes, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Well, Johnny,
I'll say this for you, Harry.
Yeah?
When you pull a boner, you really do. Wasn't that one of the gentlemen of the press outside there?
Yep, no doubt he's on the phone to his paper right now.
Harry, this is ridiculous.
Is it?
You know me better than to think I could have killed this Barryman, is it?
When your own gun was found beside the body, when a bullet from it killed him...
Just let me handle this, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Look at the facts, Johnny. You've been on the Martin case up in Lakewood, haven't you?
That's right.
But you've been stalling on it.
But there is reason for that.
You even left town, went to Vegas, presumably on another investigation.
It was on another investigation. Would you like some verification?
No, I'll take your word for it.
Thanks a lot.
But you found no real clue to the Martin murder, did you?
Have you forgotten the microphoto of the bullet that you got for me?
No, but you didn't tell me why, Johnny. Why'd you want that?
Because maybe it was his gun did that killing.
Sergeant.
So he figured on changing the barrel. So the markings wouldn't look like that bullet.
Okay, Sergeant.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Let me go on, Johnny.
Please do.
Then Barryman got killed here in Hartford. And he's also a contractor bidding on that redevelopment project there in Lakewood County. Is there a tie-up, Johnny?
Are you kidding, Lieutenant?
Sergeant.
Don't you say. There's some other contractor wants that business and hires Dollar to knock him off.
Well, Johnny?
Harry, if you'll get rid of Big Mouth here for a couple of minutes.
Hey, now, just a minute, baby.
Okay, Sergeant. I'll call you when I want you.
But didn't you hear when he just called me?
Yes, I heard. Just close the door quietly. Go on.
Yes, sir.
All right now, Harry. I've held out on things, but for good reason. Don't you know about the rotten political situation up there in Lakewood?
Well, I've heard some things.
Well, then you know the contracting job on that redevelopment project is going to be one big, juicy plum for somebody.
I know.
And who gets it depends, unfortunately, on one man. On one politician whose own brother just happens to be in the contracting business. Do you know the man I mean? This Mr. Politics I'm talking about?
Yes, I'm afraid I do.
And he's powerful enough to make things pretty rough for you or me or anybody else who might cross him.
Are you saying that he might have killed Martin?
Exactly. Killed off one of his brother's competition.
And the same for Barryman's death?
Yes. And for the same reason. Because there is no doubt that Mr. Barryman or Mr. Martin could have underbid Mr. Dirty Politics' brother if they stayed alive. So with that in mind, I call on this politician.
On what excuse, Johnny?
Just to suggest some possible changes in his insurance. He fell for it, and he let me in. And Harry, there in his study on the wall, he had quite a collection of guns. Most of them flintlocks, very old and very well cared for.
Flintlocks?
But I also spotted one half hidden behind some books on a shelf that was a dead ringer for the gun I always carry. Same make, same model, same caliber and finish.
Oh?
So by the simple device of dropping a lighted cigarette into his wastebasket, starting a little fire, well, while he was throwing it outside, I switched guns on him.
Why, Johnny?
So that I could have his checked against the microphoto you gave me of the bullet that killed Mr. Martin.
Checked there in Lakewood?
Oh, no.
Why not?
Because if my hunch was wrong, Harry, and if it got around, that man could make more trouble, could hurt more people than you or I ever dreamed of. And his first target would be the Lakewood police who made the checkup. You can be thankful that you don't have that kind of politics to contend with.
I am. But if you're right, if his gun matches that bullet...
Then he's through, Harry. The big construction job will be handed out legitimately. And more important, Lakewood and Lakewood County will be clean for the first time in years. And you'll have your killer.
Yes, if this story of your switching guns is true.
If it's true?
Yeah.
Harry, you've got to be kidding. Don't you see now why I've had to go this thing alone?
If it was his gun that killed Martin. If not, the story about your gun, why it was used for the Barrowman killing, is going to sound pretty fishy.
What do you mean?
Johnny, we know only one thing. It was your gun that killed Alfred Barrowman.
And I've told you why.
Yeah, but what if the tests show your gun also killed Martin?
Harry, that's impossible. When Martin died, I had my gun in my own possession.
That's exactly what I mean.
Oh, wait a minute.
Sergeant, answer.
Harry, will you wait a minute?
Yeah, Lieutenant.
You can lock him up now.
What?
Yes, sir. It'll be a pleasure. Only first I better book him, hadn't I?
Oh, just leave that to me.
Harry, you're out of your ever-loving mind.
Am I?
Come along, Dollar. Hey, shut up.
You like a car with plenty of pep, a car with reserve power for safe passing. Most good drivers do, but they don't like to pay extra for premium gasoline. Listen, in 3 out of 5 cars, regular-priced Sinclair Dino Gasoline matches performance of premium gasolines, saves you up to 4 cents a gallon. Almost anywhere you see the Sinclair Dinosaur sign, you can save up to 4 cents a gallon with Dino. Drive with care and buy Sinclair Dino Gasoline.
Okay, Lieutenant.
Thanks, Hanley. I'll call you.
Yes, sir.
Well, it seems to me the least you can do is ask me to sit down, Johnny.
It's your jail, Harry. Make yourself at home.
Thanks. Cigarette?
No, thanks. I have one. Now, what goes, Harry? Well, don't you believe what I told you last night?
You seen the morning paper?
Yes, and I'm sure you went out of your way to have it brought into me.
That's right. And the cigarettes and extra coffee and the reporters who called on you. Did you tell them anything?
You know darn well I didn't.
Yeah, I thought you'd clam up, huh?
Harry, don't you see what you've done to me, to my reputation in this town?
You think so?
I'll never live down this boo-boo of yours. And worst of all, you're letting a killer run around loose.
I am? Well, wasn't it your idea to try to pin the Martin murder on him, too, as a clincher?
Of course it was, but... Look, Harry, will you listen to me?
Sure, if you think it'll do you any good.
Now, I'm expecting a call. A very important one.
Yeah? From where? From whom?
Well, you wouldn't like it if I told you, because I didn't contact you instead. But I had to stay away from this territory to prevent even the remotest possibility of a leak. But if you'll let me out long enough to take that call when it comes in, and I told him to try to reach me here...
Don't you mean if it comes in?
No, I mean when. It'll be a ballistics report on the gun. His gun. As compared to the photo of that bullet that killed Martin.
But what if they don't tell you what you've hoped for?
Harry, don't you see there is still a matter of my gun?
I know.
Well, don't you believe what I told you about it, about the switch?
Lieutenant, I've got an urgent one for you, real urgent, up in your office.
Okay, Hanley, fine.
Harry, listen to me. You've got to let me out of here to get that call.
We'll see.
Behave yourself, Johnny.
Well, what is it this time, Hanley?
I don't get it, Dollar, but out you go.
Well, thank you.
Come on, I'll lead the way.
You mind telling me where we're going?
Sure. Up to Lieutenant Bartley's office.
Phone call for me?
Gee, how should I know?
Come on, let's find out. This could be very important.
Now, take it easy. Yeah, my feet hurt. Hey, listen.
Yeah.
Tell me one thing.
How come a smart man like you didn't get a lawyer to spring you?
Only one reason. I know your Lieutenant Bartley a little better than he thinks.
Huh?
At least I hope I do, because if I don't, if he's pulled a boo-boo, it looks as though he's pulled.
Well, come on in, Johnny. I have a little surprise for you.
Oh, that's all, Hanley, and thanks.
Yes, sir.
Well, this had better be good, Harry.
Believe me, Johnny, it is. Oh, sit down.
Thanks, but that's all I've been doing for the last 15 hours.
Listen. Now, that urgent call I got when I had to leave you a couple of hours ago?
Yeah.
Well, it was a phone call for you.
Randy Singer in New York?
You've forgotten he's an old friend of mine, too. But look here, see? This is a transcript of his call.
Let me see.
Kind of proves you were right, Johnny. It was that gun of Mr. Dirty Politics that killed Cletus Martin.
I knew it, Harry. It had to be.
And, of course, that gives full credence to what you told me about switching with him.
And that means that he also killed Alfred Berryman.
No doubt about it. So, once again, Johnny, one of your crazy hunches paid off.
That hunch was based on plenty of known facts.
Anyway, you're a hero again.
Oh, some hero. After spending a night in the clink, after being booked on a murder charge, my name is Mudd.
Booked?
Oh, certainly, by you.
Johnny, you know, I must have forgotten, too.
What?
Yeah, so if you want to sue me for holding you illegally...
Oh, if I had any sense, I probably would. But now, would you make with a good reason for all this, Harry?
Well, it's a trick I learned a long time ago from a fellow. A man I've admired for a long time, Johnny. You.
Me?
Yeah, I suspected Mr. Dirty Politician, too. As would anybody who really knew about his methods and his machinations. All his shady deals up there in Lakewood.
So?
So, stealing a page from your book, I decided that the best way to throw him off, make him careless, keep him around here feeling smug, was to broadcast that we had absolute proof of your guilt.
Uh-huh.
And don't you see, with not only the papers, but even the boys here on the force believing it, well, he couldn't possibly smell a rat.
Hmm.
As a result, instead of running away, well, we picked him up right here in Hartford.
Well, that's all very fine for you, Harry.
And when I faced him with a report on his gun that killed Martin, and then told him about the switch with your gun that he then used on Barryman, well, believe it or not, Johnny, and so help me, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I was that surprised.
Yeah.
Johnny, this smart, clever old crook got so rattled, so completely confused, he broke down and made a full confession.
Congratulations, Harry. You have made a real hero of yourself.
Of myself.
Mm. But I just wonder how long it's going to take me to live down that phony newspaper story.
But you have, Johnny, you have.
I have, huh?
Sure. And just wait till you see that afternoon edition, giving you full credit for the whole stunt.
Oh?
That's right, Johnny. The only hero on this case is you.
Well, now, wait a minute. I mean, after all, Harry, you're the one who wrapped it all up.
Oh, yeah? But where would I be if you hadn't laid all the groundwork? If I hadn't got the idea for this little trick from some of those cases of yours? Absolutely nowhere. No, Johnny, it's yours. All yours.
After this, I think I'd better keep my tricks to myself. Well, now, wait a minute, how can I? When every case I handle gets broadcast all over the country. Well, I guess I just can't win. Expense account total? Well, all I want now is one big fat apology from meddling old Adolf Dorfman at Amalgamated Life for having trapped me into that night in jail. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, San Francisco and a ship. A most unusual ship. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar is written by Jack Johnstone. Produced and directed by Fred Hendrickson. Music supervision by Ethel Huber. Sound patterns by Joseph Cabibbo. Johnny Dollar is played by Mandel Kramer. Also featured in our cast were Robert Dryden as Adolf Dorfman, Ralph Bell as Sergeant Anseth, Martin Blaine as Lieutenant Bartley, and Nat Poland as Hanley the Guard.
Mid pleasures and palaces, though we may roam, be it ever so humble, there's no place like home. My name is Trudy Peebles. I'm your welcome wagon hostess in Albany. How well we realize there's no place like home. If you're moving to a new city, home can be a little strange. New faces, new places. It's our job in Welcome Wagon to make newcomers feel at home. Won't you call us when there's a newcomer on your street?
Welcome Wagon hostesses are charming ambassadors of goodwill. Won't you call Welcome Wagon at State 59640 and give them the name and address of any newcomer you know? Each newcomer will receive greetings and warm wishes and a basket full of free gifts from civic-minded businessmen. Your call will help your neighbor, and it will help your Welcome Wagon hostess who carries on this valuable community service. Call State 59640. That's State 59640 for Welcome Wagon.
WROW Music, Row 59, Albany.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell means mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolf's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. Mr. Wolf? Yeah, he's right here. Who's this?
Archie, hang up. Don't ask questions.
You have a what?
Archie, it's past your bedtime.
Well, I'm afraid, Mr. Wolf, it's past his bedtime.
Your bedtime.
It's a client, boss.
That's what I was afraid of. Foolish.
Hello? Hello?
Well, why do you look so bewildered?
He's coming right over. He says he's got a date. With murder.
Gentlemen, it's the detective genius who rates the knife and fork, the greatest tools ever invented by man. The ponderous, brilliant, and unpredictable Nero Wolfe, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
Tonight's story, The Case of the Calculated Risk, was as strange and baffling as any Nero Wolfe had to deal with. It started late one night when a big-shouldered man sporting a reddish beard and billing himself as Dave Caffrey pushed his way in, walked up to Nero Wolfe's desk, and rocked him with this opener.
Tomorrow morning, Mr. Wolfe, I'm going to kill a man.
I beg your pardon, sir?
I'm going to kill a man with these two hands.
I've been told strange things across this desk, Mr. Caffrey. This is the first time a murderer has confided his intention to me in advance. This man you speak of.
I'm not telling you his name. I'm not telling you where I'm going to meet him. The session tomorrow is going to be private and personal. But if anything happens to me between now and then, I want you to take over.
Mr. Gaffrey, do you seriously think I could assist you in a matter of private vengeance?
That's not what I'm asking. This guy deserves to die. I plan to kill him with these two hands. Me, myself. But if I slip up, if he gets me first, I want you to see that justice is done.
But I assure you, sir,
I told you this guy deserves to die. Let me tell you why. Years ago down south, there were three men in business together, partners. Me and two others.
Your notebook, Archie, if Mr. Gaffrey doesn't mind.
You're wasting your time, Wolf. The names I'll use will be phony. I won't give you anything you can check back on.
We'll take our chance, sir. Please proceed.
It happened in a town about 40 miles from the place where we had our business. We'd gone there to collect some money, the three of us. Carl, Mitch, and me. Dave Caffrey. But all we collected was bad news. So bad that Carl hadn't even given our right names at the hotel. Said he was scared some of our creditors would come hitting up on us for what we owed. Three of us had some drinks, and we'd been pacing around for nearly an hour. I can still remember the way Mitch stood and looked at me. And then up at Carl, when Carl suddenly pulled to a stop and came out with this idea of his.
So, Dave, you've got 6,000 cash on hand. You counted it, Mitch.
Well, didn't we make it 6,240, Carl?
Whichever. We've got this 6,000 odd, plus some slow accounts receivable against debts of 38,000. With three of us trying to live from the business, we haven't got a chance.
Well, we ain't got much of a one, Carl, but...
It's hopeless, Dave. With two partners, though...
Two partners? You reckon on pulling out, Carl?
I say we cut cards for it, Mitch. Low man drops out.
Break up the partnership? After sticking together all these years?
Now, wait a minute, Dave, wait a minute. Maybe Carl's right. Maybe this could work. Carl, you mean the low man drops out clean? Right now?
Right now, Mitch. Other two to take over assets and debts and see if they can get this thing back in the black.
Okay, Carl. Get the cards out.
Dave?
Well, that's what you guys want.
Okay, then. Here's a new deck. Shuffle them, Mitch.
All shuffled.
Cut them, Dave. Go ahead, Mitch. You get first pick. Spread them if you like.
Here goes.
Ah, six. Your turn, Dave.
Okay. 9 o'clock.
Huh, lucky guy, Dave. That puts you in whatever Carl pulls.
I'll pull it fast. There she is.
Denise.
Sorry, Mitch. That leaves you elected.
Well, Mitch, I'm sorry, too. I guess we all had a fair whack at it, but...
Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me see that ace again, Carl.
Easy, Mitch. I said I was sorry,
look,
but...
Look, Dave.
Yeah, what is it, Mitch?
All the aces are marked. Carl, I'm going to cram this dick right down your crooked throat.
Oh, look out, Mitch. He's got a knife. Right.
Sure.
Oh. Carl, you...
All right. I've cut him for keeps. What do we do now?
What do we do? Look, Carl, I didn't mark those cards. I didn't kill Mitch. And what's more...
Shut up, Dave. We're both in and out now. Come on. Let's get out of here.
Now what, Carl?
Look, Dave, this is where we split up. Two men together, easy to trace. You head one way, I go the other.
Yeah, but the dough, I got no money.
Here, I'll split up the 6,000. This is your half. Here, stick the envelope in your pocket. Now, grab that freight. Get set. I'll catch the next one going the other way. Get going, Dave!
That's how it was, Mr. Wolf. It all happened so fast that I...
This man you call Carl, he would seem to be one of the world's choice creatures, Mr. Geoffrey.
When I thought to look in that envelope he gave me, I found $40 and a few folds of wrapping paper in it. I was mad enough to... Well, I got off the freight and intended to go back, but... Then I picked up a paper.
And read all about the murder of your friend Mitch with the statement that Carl had accused you of the crime. And that the police believed him in view of your escape.
That's it.
Classical, but not at all original.
Well, I was young then and stupid. And I'd had those drinks to start with.
And you spent the intervening years hunting down the man Carl, am I correct?
Yeah. I tramped the country from east to west, from north to south. Tramped it for years, searching for him. And yesterday, I located him. He's a big wheel these days up on that 37th floor of his. But tomorrow, when I get...
Yes, Mr. Caffrey, the 37th floor of...
Never mind what building.
Now, wait a minute, Caffrey. If you expect Mr. Wolf to help you...
I don't want him to help me. I'll help myself. But if I slip up, I know Wolf's reputation well enough to know that he'll never rest till this rotten, chiseling murderer is sitting in the chair. That's why I've come here. Just to provide a backstop in case my dear friend of long ago manages to get the best of me.
How will we know?
You see this envelope? Read what it says.
Nero Wolf, 601 West 35th Street, New York. Delivered to him in case of my death.
That's right. And this envelope was $500. Nearly all I've got in the world. Along with it, the full details on that knifing. Real names, dates. The proof you'll need in case I don't finish it up.
Go on.
Tonight, Mr. Wolf, I'm going to give this envelope to the manager of the hotel where I'm stopping. I'm calling on, well, Carl. Tomorrow at noon, right after his secretary goes to lunch. If I'm not back in my hotel at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, the hotel manager will deliver this envelope to you. Is that clear?
Perfectly. But you don't think I'm going to allow you to go through with this wire plan, do you?
You can't stop me. And don't have Goodwin follow me. I'd lose him in 2 blocks. Good night.
Shall I try to tail him, boss?
It's no use, Archie. Get Inspector Kramer on the phone at once. I want the police to help us head off this murder. Nero Wolf speaking.
It's Archie. I'm calling from the morgue.
And?
They found Caffrey's body in a subway washroom, mugged and stabbed. Wallet gone, pockets cleaned out, no envelope.
Just 2 hours ago, he was here. No envelope, eh?
Gone.
Witnesses?
None so far. Homicide's calling it straight mugging and robbery.
As it well might look, except for...
Except for a guy named Carl. How much do I tell Kramer?
All of it. Ask the inspector to start queries throughout the South on the original killing.
The original killing? Look...
It's our best chance of getting a description of the man called Carl. The original killing and the partnership. Starting from, say, 8 years ago and working back to the middle 20s. Tell him to concentrate on towns on railway lines.
Putting out pictures of Caffrey and...
Pictures and dentistry. Fingerprints to Washington. Kramer will know.
And if I come across a haystack, do I keep my eye out for needles?
We are going to find Carl, Archie. We are going to find him if it takes him now till doomsday.
Mr. Wolf, let's face it, we're licked.
Licked, Archie?
3 days now. We found Caffrey's hotel here in New York. No traceable phone calls. Not a witness has turned up on that subway washroom party. And Kramer says he's getting nowhere with those answers from the Southland.
The original story is bound to come slowly, Archie. We are asking a check on the unsolved killings of a dozen states over a 20-year period.
Hmm. And what now?
You start trudging, Archie.
Trudging?
Through office buildings, through 37th floors of many office buildings. You keep trudging till we find him.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Mr. Wolf. This is a big city, remember? I might have to go through hundreds of buildings.
This morning, Archie, the Municipal Reference Library informed me that there are exactly 34 buildings of 37 floors or higher in Manhattan. Now, when you rule out the United Nations building, hotels...
Okay. Maybe not so many 37th floors, but lots of offices per floor. Maybe 40 or 50. Call it 30 times 40, and you've still got 1,200 to start with. And you don't know what kind of business, you don't know what Carl's real name is, you don't even know what he looks like. There could be 4,000 men like him.
4,000 affluent men, Archie?
Yeah, well, all right. Caffrey said he was in the chips, though. You know, for a guy who'd been bumming around, that could mean anything from 10 grand a year up. Say, wait a minute, that cuts your field to 1,000.
1,000 tall men?
Tall? I've been over those notes. Caffrey didn't say he was tall.
As plainly as you could ask. Caffrey was almost your height, but he said Mitch stood and looked at me. And then he looked up at Carl. Up, Archie. That makes Carl your height or taller.
Yeah. Well, maybe Caffrey and Mitch were sitting down, and Carl was,
Caffrey told us the three were standing at the time. Check your notes. I've studied them.
Okay. Maybe that does cut it down some. Yeah, it's still a lot of citizens that start checking for a southern accent.
Don't rely on accent, Archie. Carl has had many years to lose any accent he might have had.
Yeah, that's true.
And so we narrow it, Archie. A man almost surely tall. A man not using the name he was born with. A man with an unexplained gap in his past.
I ought to be able to reach right out and tap him.
You go skeptical again, Archie.
Well, it's still a pretty big haystack.
Let's see if we can't trim it some more. On these building lists I've been going over, I've ruled out for now the members of professions requiring lengthy formal training. Medical men, lawyers, scientists of most kind.
Yeah, that's chopping it down. I'll admit that.
I'll have further eliminations as we get into it. And I'm putting Saul Panzer on a second list this afternoon. Some of the credit references I'll handle by phone.
So I start trudging, huh?
You start trudging. And remember, Archie, since you'll probably be operating through secretaries, you're looking for a murderer named Carl, not for a new set of telephone numbers to brighten your winter.
Tall? I don't know what you're peddling, Goodwin, but if my boss put his elevator shoes on and stood on a box, he'd still be down somewhere around my necktie. If he stood on his money, though, we'd need a helicopter to get up near his shoelaces.
Oh, Mr. Jonas, do you mind if I sit down?
Why, of course not, Mr. Goodwin.
Oh, thanks. You know, I've been in 12 offices on this floor, and you're the first girl who's seen the importance of this survey first crack out of the box.
Well, I'm sort of new here, and I try to pay attention.
Oh, when... you're not just beautiful. You've got a head on you. Is Mr. McLean in?
Well, he's at lunch right now.
Lunch? Oh, that reminds me. Know any good restaurants up this way?
Well, I was just going to the downstairs drugstore myself, but I wouldn't say
Well, come on. Put your bonnet on and let's skip the drugstore. This meal is on the Executive Resources Survey. There you are, boss. The boil down.
Tinsley, McLean, Fernandes, Tessero, and Kaplan. All five of them tall, all five a little misty in the background. You and Saul have done well, Archie. Very well. But I'm crossing off Fernandes and Kaplan.
Why?
The Credit Bureau report clears Fernandes, and Kaplan was on a special war job. The FBI x-rayed his record twice.
Leaving J.P. Tinsley, Carson McLean, and Philip Tesro, huh?
I'd like to see all three here, Archie. Get them here one way or another. And so you do admit that Tinsley isn't your real name.
Mr. Wolf, are you a blackmailer or what?
I'm a licensed private investigator, sir. Any disclosure you make will be kept in confidence, provided it doesn't touch on the case I'm engaged on.
You haven't said what the case is.
I don't intend to. If you prefer to explain this mysterious gap in your background at the district attorney's office...
Well, I'm using the name Tinsley because I've got an undivorced first wife out on the coast. We broke up 20 years ago, but she said she'd see to it that I never married again. And she knew where I was today. Well, I don't say I'm a saint, but she's a vindictive woman.
I see. May I have names, dates, and places starting 1924?
I can't quite understand your interest, Mr. Wolfe.
It's rather complicated, to put it briefly, Mr. McLean. I'm working in the interest of a client. Our people have found this puzzling gap in your background, and I'd appreciate such clarification as you may be able to supply.
But I told you, Mr. Goodwin, I was raised and educated in the Orient. Until 32, I was in business with my father in China.
Where you say your father died?
Died. With the Depression, I returned to New York, started this importing business in a small way, weathered through the early 30s, and I think my bankers can assure you of my standing today.
They've done so. Carson McLean and Company has an excellent credit rating.
Thank you, Mr. Wolf.
To switch somewhat abruptly, Mr. McLean, would you happen to remember how you spent the evening of the 19th?
Of this month?
Of this month.
Well, I could hardly... Wait. You say the 19th. Would that have been on a Tuesday?
Yes, it was Tuesday.
Well, that simplifies it. I'm nearly always at the office on Tuesday nights, dictating the revisions in our weekly wholesalers' lists. Let me see... Yes, I was there on the 19th. Had a tray sent in. Miss Tunis and I worked till just after midnight.
Miss Helen Tunis, the secretary Mr. Goodwin spoke of.
She's been with me for 2 or 3 months.
Miss Tunis can confirm this dictation on the night of the 19th?
Of course. And Mr. Wolf, your manner is so persuasive that I'd scarcely realize you're asking some extraordinary searching questions. May I ask why in the world you...
If you'll indulge me, Mr. McLean, my prying is nearly concluded. You say you were in China until 1932. Mr. Tesro, I'll be brutally frank. We know that your name's not Tesro. And we know that you served a prison term from 34 to 38 for arson. I'd like some straight answers.
I didn't say I wouldn't answer your questions.
The past can remain your own, provided...
Now, look, Mr. Wolf. I've been going straight for 12 years. And this business of mine is on the level. Now, if this is a shakedown...
I'm asking where you were on the night of the 19th.
And I'm telling you I stayed in town. I ate alone. And I went to a movie. I caught the 11:35 for Stamford. And that's all there is to it.
You're denying that you were ever in business in the South?
I was born in the South, but I haven't been back there since I was a kid.
What about the arson?
I put in 4 years squaring for that mistake.
Let's start again, Mr. Tesro. You say you were in Cincinnati in 1931.
Oh,
Okay, Mr. Wolf. Three candidates and we're still on the one-yard line. Our one-yard line. Tessero, McLean, Tinsley. No, rule out McLean. He gave references enough for those years in China. And with Helen Tunis, he's got the one firm alibi we've laid on to. Caffery was killed before midnight.
With conditions as they are in the Far East, Archie, it would be weeks before cables came back on McLean's claims.
Claims? You figure the whole Chinese background's a fake?
I want you to see Miss Tunis again, Archie. Taking all precautions for her safety. And this is one time I give you permission to ply her with all the attentions you can contrive.
Are we far enough to pull tails on any of these three?
I've got Saul Pans on, Tessero. And Saul promised to have men on Tinsley and McLean. Pictures of the three have gone to Kramer for circulation in the South.
Oh. No answer yet from the coast on Tinsley, huh?
Not yet. For the moment, Archie, you'll concentrate on Helen Tunis.
Helen, I've got to see you tonight.
I'd love to, Archie.
Now, look,
but...
Helen, I phoned you to come out in the corridor this way because I didn't want McLean to know we're talking. Do you still say you got that new mink coat on your own money?
Mr. Goodwin, I don't know what right you
Helen,
have
if you
to...
get five guys to buy your stuff, it's your business,
Mr.
But...
McLean said his wife might be sent detectives around. You can go right back to your old Mrs. McLean and tell
easy,
her that I...
Easy, Helen, easy.
He was dictating to me.
You know, baby, the harder you lie, the prettier you look. But if this is a fake alibi, and if you keep propping it up, you're going to find yourself in trouble. Bad trouble. Now, how about it? Do I see you at your apartment tonight, or would you rather come down with me to Nero Wolf's right now?
Archie, I... All right, I can't go with you now, and I've got a dinner date with my aunt tonight that I can't break, but I'll try to be back at my apartment by 11.
Archie! Nero Wolf's being...
This is Archie, Mr. Wolf. I'm at Helen Tunis's apartment.
Well?
I could cut my throat for not making her come with me this afternoon.
Trouble?
Not for her anymore, poor kid. I got here 3 minutes ago and found her strangled. Couldn't have happened more than half an hour ago.
McLean.
Didn't Saul Panza say he was getting a tail on him?
He was a new man and he lost him. I should have left you on McLean, Archie.
Yeah, we were both wrong. What do you want me to do?
Phone the police immediately.
This is 32nd Street. I'm only three blocks and a job from the office. What if I come back and call from there?
Come back, then. I'll phone Kramer myself.
Mr. Wolf, I'm still kicking myself for that.
Look out, Archie.
Too late, Mr. Wolf. Keep coming right in, Goodwin. With your hands up. No, I wouldn't try that.
McLean.
And keep your hand out of that desk drawer, Wolf.
This time you're too late, McLean. My hand's in the drawer and I think I'll leave it there.
You don't think I'd shoot?
I'm sure you would. But you've got two of us to cover now. No, Archie, don't try to draw yet.
How'd you get in here, McLean?
He surprised me after making his way in through the areaway below, and of course it had to be Fritz's night out.
I caught your fat friend just 2 seconds before he could get in his call to the police, Goodwin. I overheard his talk with you from the hallway here.
My apologies for not crying out sooner, Archie.
Get your hand out of that drawer. Pull it out without the gun, Wolf, or I'll let you have it now.
I refuse to, McLean. Seems obvious that you mean to kill us in any case.
I'm afraid that's true, Wolf. But when you called me here and Goodwin started making dates with Helen Tunis...
Poor kid, I told her not to talk to you.
He didn't, Goodwin. I've been scared of you and Wolf since I followed Colby here that first night.
Colby?
You knew him as Caffrey. I caught up with him afterward in that subway washroom. No, keep that hand up and watch that gun of yours, Wolf. When I found that envelope on him and read the letter to you contained in it, I knew he hadn't spilled the whole South Carolina story to you.
South Carolina? Would the original knifing have been taking place anywhere near Hampton or Jasper Counties?
Hampton County. But our business is over the line in Georgia. Doesn't matter now.
Pity, Archie. We learned this afternoon that we were growing warm on South Carolina. Mr. McLean, may I ask what you hope to achieve by this insane project of disposing of Mr. Goodwin and myself?
I'm buying time, Wolf. I've 90,000 in small bills in that bag there, plus a plane ticket to Buenos Aires. I've got a silencer on this gun. If you two aren't found till tomorrow morning, I'll be out of the country before they start looking for me.
You don't think the police will put out an alarm for you when they find the body of Helen Tunis?
Goodwin left it to you to report that, remember?
Let's remind ourselves to be prompter on reporting deaths, Archie.
Starting with our own, Mr. Wolfe?
Glad you can take it that way, Goodwin.
You actually think you can knock the two of us off?
I'm about to find out, Goodwin.
One moment, McLean. You've never been a real gambler. You know that. With marked cards, of course. But you're not the man to face a sure loss now.
A sure loss?
The loss of your life. Within seconds after you try to pull that trigger.
I told you I had a silencer. You think anyone will hear the shots?
There'll be more shots than you count on. My hand's on a pistol now in this drawer, and Mr. Goodwin has a .38 in his shoulder holster.
You can't shoot through the desk, and Goodwin won't get a chance to draw.
You're an intelligent man, McLean. Vicious, but intelligent. May I describe the certainty of your immediate death if you don't throw that pistol on the desk and give yourself up?
There are two of you, I know that, but...
McLean, you must be aware that in the actual fact, exceedingly few men are killed instantly by a single shot, even from a pistol of heavy caliber. The one you hold is a .32.
And it's a .45 in that drawer, McLean.
I assure you, McLean, that neither of us will surrender the weapons we have. Should you start shooting, we'll both do our best to draw and keep firing till you're dead.
You're stalling, Wolf. What have I got to lose by trying for you both now?
Your life? I'll correct that. The loss of some 6 or 8 weeks of your life, possibly months, whatever the time necessary to bring you to trial and to convict you and execute you for the murders you've committed.
Suppose I cancel you out. And then take my chances with Goodwin.
A better choice, but still a dubious one. I'm fat, exceedingly fat. And for perhaps the first time in my life, I'm thoroughly grateful for that. My bulk affects the calculation, McLean.
McLean, you could pull off all 7 shots and still not hit Mr. Wolf where it counts. If you have to start, you better start on me.
You exaggerate, Archie, and I thank you for the gallantry of it. No, it's quite likely that with 2 or 3 shots, McLean might well dispose of me, but not with your first shot, McLean, and we'll not permit you many more than your first.
Look, if I promise to do no more than tie you two up to give me my head start, will you toss in your guns?
Of course not. Do I speak for us both, Archie?
Check. I say let's start it now.
Wolf, if I give you half of what's in that bag, would you forget these admissions I've made and help on my defense?
I've told you I refuse to bargain. I think that I shall count 5. If your weapon hasn't been tossed on the desk by then, I'll do my best to get my pistol into action. Are you in the court, Archie?
Start counting.
Wait a minute, Mr. Wolf.
1.
If I trade half that bag for no shooting and 1 hour start, no tying up, just your promise that...
2.
All the bag for a half hour start, 90,000.
3. Are you ready, Archie?
All set, sir. Except if you're the one who walks out of this, call up every number in my little red book, huh? And tell each girl I was thinking of her just before you got the 5.
Agreed. I resume 4.
Okay. You win.
Holy sweet Susan, it worked, it worked.
A commendable choice, McLean, for us at least. You see, I'm afraid I forgot to mention one slight factor which might have operated in your favor.
What's that, boss?
I must confess, Archie, that my .45 is in the upstairs den where I took it to oil it last night.
Holy cow, you didn't have a gun?
Why, you...
Take it easy, McLean. I've really got one. Oh, by the way, Mr. Wolf, signals off on those women, huh? When my heart gets back down out of my throat, I'll call them myself.
I'll trouble you for a beer first, Archie. And then if you'll be good enough to phone Inspector Kramer, you can bid him pick up his triple murderer. The one-time cutter of cards. Fortunately for us, who's never been a real gambler.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet.
Tonight's transcribed story was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Gerald Moore as Archie Goodwin and Lorraine Carter, Bill Johnstone, Howard McNear, Herb Butterfield, and Vic Rodman. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Phantom Fingers. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
That's Case Closed for this week. I hope you enjoyed today's episodes. Be back next Wednesday with another hour of old-time radio crime. And between now and then, you can find more from Johnny Dollar, Nero Wolfe, past episodes of this show, and everything else Relic Radio. Our Shoutcast stream is available there as well, and our donate button, all at RelicRadio.com. Your support makes all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have. And thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed.